aesthetically.
It looks fine aesthetically.
Well, this is the style.
This is in vogue right now. So. Okay, let's get going. Okay, we're discussing the issue of Harsha, the sugya here on Daf Ayin Amud Aleph. Again, did everybody finish the Marim Kabbos Harsha so far? Let's start the Gemar Din or not? Did not.
I can only speak for myself, but I'm already part of everyone.
You're only?
I'm part of everyone, so I know I haven't finished.
Okay. And how many people have the? How many other people have not started on Gemar Din yet?
I think we're going to end up, right?
What? Okay. Okay. But let's move more quickly so we can finish the. I want to again try to get to the next Mishnah early next week, if possible. So we want to finish up Parsha, Gemar Din, a few other little points that come up, and we really want to move on to Davar V'lo Chatzi Davar, so we can get in some of the other big topics coming up. Okay. So what we've seen so far is we have this very, very important, very crucial Shakla Vitaria here on Ayin Amud Aleph. Excuse me. And we're trying to figure out what Harsha is. What's the Daniel? What's the outcome of the Shakla Vitaria on Ayin Amud Aleph? If you just had to give us a brief summation, the Shakla Vitaria on Ayin Amud Aleph about Harsha. So A, we have the two Lashonos of Nahardai, the first Lashon of which is connected in the Gemara to, according to our Girsa, to also to Rabbi Yochanan.
Okay.
The second day, of course, is connected to, according to our Girsa at least, to Maxi, seems like Maxi Kashikra, but Metaltlan to Kafre. That's the second day of Nahardai. Then the Gemara goes on and describes the details of Harsha a little bit more fully. Go ahead, namely. No. I just want to bring us back to the. It's not a Bekiyas test. It's a. Yeah. Zil apik v'don lenaf. Zil don v'apik lenafshe is required in order to overcome the problem of Laval Dvarim Didiya. That's really the crucial line maybe in the whole Gemara. This is the line which seems to differentiate Harsha from what? From regular Shlichus, 100%. So that's very, very crucial. The question is whether that gets maintained, Lemaskana, is it an indispensable part of every Harsha that you have this Nusach of Zildon Zchi V'apik Lenav Sheikh. Without which the Gemara says Leisba Meshasha. Is that accepted Lamaskana or not? Who says it's not accepted Lamaskana? I said, does anybody?
The Balamor,
correct, which we're going to get to in just a minute. But the simple reading is that everybody else will think that this is required, and this is where the Gemara reveals to us why you need, or what shliach is inadequate for. Okay. Labal dvar midiyat. And then what happens after that? Yeah, you have the discussion between a Meimar and Ravashi, which seems to be whether or not tafas mafkinan or lo mafkinan, which is a pretty, again, basic argument, obviously, really an issue of power. Who's really in control? The only question is, the 2 days in Rashi, whether we're talking about who's in control, the relationship of the Mursha to the Nitva, or the relationship of the Mursha to the Marsha. Correct? Okay. If it's about the Mursha and the Nitva, then it's a question of how effective is a Harsha to overcome La Baldvarim Didiya. Does it just mean that L'chatchila is supposed to give it to him? Or does it mean that there's no taina whatsoever? La baldvarim didiyat is just become a moot point once you are waving something that says zil apik don zechil anafshech, right? Then of course you should be able to do it. In a way, the chiddush of tafas lo mafkina minei is much greater according to the interpretation that it's an argument between the Mursha and the Marsha than it is it's an argument between the Mursha and the Nitva. Because on the surface, the Mursha and the Nitva, the only question really is, does Harsha work? does it work not only lechatchila but even b'diavad? The question of the relationship between the marsha and the mursha, on the other hand, seems to be going to the core and essence of what is handed over. Not what right does the mursha have vis-a-vis the nitva, but you know, what is the relationship between the marsha and the mursha? To what extent is he more than a shliach? So the depending on the 2 days in Rashi, this is a very, very... Either way, it's a crucial machlokas. But whether the chiddush is, according to the Mandamar, yitapas mafkinan or yitapas lo mafkinan, maybe that kufa depends on these 2 days. It's a much bigger chiddush to say yitapas lo mafkinan if you're talking about the mursha and the marsha than it is if you're talking about... The chiddush is in the other direction if you're talking about the mursha and the nitva. Okay. And then finally, what do we have? Shliach Shavya or Shutva Shavya. L'may nafkemina, l'mitvas palgav, and then the conclusion of Hilchos Shliach Shavya. So very, very packed a few lines in the Gemara about the nature of Harsha. Okay, so what we've seen so far is the Gemara discusses Harsha, but it doesn't tell us what we're trying to collect. Are we trying to collect a Bikadon? Are we trying to collect Gezel? Are we trying to collect a Milva? What exactly is the goal here? So with regard to Pikadon and with regard to Milva, we also know that there are machloksin on those issues. With regard to Pikadon, as we already discussed, Tosis, the Rajba, many of the other Rishonim take a very clear and unequivocal stance. Daniel, that?
What?
About Pikadon?
That
you could certainly write a harsha for a pikadon. That's the view of Tosis and the Rajba and most Rishonim. And the Cholkin are Rashi, right? According to one day in Rashi, if you have a disputed pikadon, so then that depends on the two deos, may depend on the two deos of the Achna Hardoi, right? And then you have the Ravan, who also says it's a dispute between the two deos of the Hardoi. Right, and that might even be in a regular Pikadon, maybe even the Pikadon Kalech and Yisra B'Shus Adamari. So even then there's a debate whether or not you can write a Harsha. The first Deah says you cannot write Harsha on a regular, on a routine Pikadon. Except that according to the Ravan, the two Deos are about whether we hold like Rabbi Yochanan, whereas in Rashi, we're not sure what the two Deos are. Do they revolve around whether we accept and apply Rabbi Yochanan, or do they revolve around the nature of Harsha? It seems that according to the Ravan, both deos may agree about the nature of Harsha. The primary argument is about Rabbi Yochanan. So that's an important debate about Pikadon. It should be noted that the Marsha raises an interesting question in trying to square the Gemara in Shavuos, Daf Lamed Gimel, and our Gemara. Right, our Gemara has 2 deos of Nehardoi. The Gemara in Shavuos is a little different. In what way, Ari? Only the second day, the Metaltal and the Kafrei, when the Gemara tries to explain the implication that had it not been, you know, some matter of kahuna, but it had been a matter of Dine Maminus, right? The Gemara says, oh, if it had been Baba Harsha, then in Nochanami there would be a Shvuas Ha'edas. And the Gemara says, Baba Harsha, and they call it the second day of Nehardoi. So the question is, what would the first day of Nehardoi do with the Mishnah? After all, this is a Mishnah, right? It's an implication based on the language of the Mishnah. So it's interesting to note that our Tosas here, the big Tosas, the Ramasa on the Talmud and the Kafre, answers that question how, Ari?
That it would be what?
He's talking about Karka. The first day, right, meaning the second day is talking about Metaltlin. That's why it says Metaltlin the Kafre. But that's what it's got to be. That's the case there. But the first daya, right, which according to Tosas, as we'll see in a second, requires hakna, would be talking about karka, and that's why it wouldn't have a problem reading the Mishnah either. That's the final line of Tosas. Tosas says that here in the big Tosas. Here somewhere. V'im tomar lishne kavod nehardoi mayavim mishani masisin deshvuos u'debechoros So if you look at the Marsha al Atar, the Marsha is just puzzled. He says, I just don't understand, given the previous Tosas, where Tosas says that even according to Dea Aleph of Nahardoi, which connects to Rabbi Yochanan, that Pikadon Kalechid Isa Bershisa Demari Isa, and you for surely could write a Harsha on a Pikadon, so why didn't Tosas just say that the Gemara and Shuas could be talking about a Pikadon? Not Gezel, but a Pikadon. And indeed, if you look at Tosas in Shavuos, Tosas in Shavuos gives both answers. Tosas in Shavuos asks this question on Lamed Gimel. Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Tosas says exactly this question. Hechad lo kafrei kasdinan. And so on and so forth. He brings all the rayas that the Rishonim bring that you can be makdish a pikadon. That's Tosas in Shavuos, and then he says, Inami. But Marsha just wonders why Tosas here didn't just give the simplest answer, especially since the previous Tosas, he says, a pikadon works for Harsha. So the Pnei Yehoshua discusses this question and makes some suggestions. I think some of the other achronim suggest also, maybe not all Balei Tosas are so clear about this idea that you could write a Harsha on a pikadon. Either way, it's something, it's a matter to look into. In any case, we have Rashi and the Ksos's amplification in Kuf Chav Gimel. We have the Ravon, I say, who definitely has some issue about this. And normally we contrast it with the Balei Tosas and the Rajba, but even with Tosas itself, maybe there's an opening for some sort of discussion. That's regarding pikadon. As for Milva, that's the real controversial issue of Harsha. Can you write a Harsha on a Milva or not? And according to Balei Tosas, as we already discussed, that depends on the two deos of Nahardoi, because the two deos of Nahardoi are really two deos about the nature of Harsha, whether it's Hakna or Shlichus. If it's Shlichus, then there's no reason that you can't write a Harsha for Milva. If it's Hakna, so just as you cannot be Makne a Milva, you cannot be Marsha a milva either. The Tzhobaha Talia. That's the view of the Balei Tosas. Just the Tosas says, we pass like the second daya, and it's Shliach Shavya, so Lemaisa, you can do it. That's Tosas' view. The Ravon goes even a step further. Right here, the Ravon, Tosas says it depends on the two days in the Gemara, but we pass like the second daya. The Ravon says, even Rabbi Yochanan and his criterion of even he will agree that you can kosev harsha on milva. That's the view of the Rabbah. He says milva is superior to metaltalin de kafre. Why? Because metaltalin de kafre, says the Ravon, is there's no ishtamute kam ishtamut. So you're a pure gazlan. In every way, this is again part of that whole piece here in the Mordechai Ayin, Simon Ayin, Ravon Kasav, Amen Hardoi, Lo Kasinu Duksa Metalpin, Pirshna Hardoi, Belish Nakama, Pligia Rab Yochan, Rabbin Afilu Bikadon Amakdish, Vikadami Nahardoi, Lo Kasinu Duksa Metalpin, the Kafra Hainuk Rab Yochanan, Kiva the Kafra Havalika Gazlan, Vidafka Bepikadon, the Lekala Memory Shtabuta Kamishtabet, Aval Milva the Lod Sonitna, a filim kafar law of a kagazlan because vinan urchasa. So we'll have to get back to this. It would seem that according to the Ravon, that you have to say one of two things, right? Either that you could be makne milva, because he thinks that it's not a problem to write a harsha on a milva, so you could be makne milva, or that he holds that the deos of Nahardoi, notwithstanding, Harsha is a form of shlichus. You just can't write it on in a case where there's a gzela, we'll get back to this when we look at the Ravon inside a little bit more. But the Ravon is a major, major chiddush to say that, again, we know in Hilchos Psuli Eidus that what he's saying is correct. In Psuli Eidus, if I'm kofer b'pikadon, I'm a gazla. We know that. And if you're kofer b'milva, right, we say, yishtamute, kam yishtamit. And you're not a gazla. That's the, not Psuli Eidus. That's the Gemara in the beginning of Shnayim Oksan, the Gemara in Randavav, in Bab Metzia. But to say that that is true with regard to Harsha, which seems to be about the Koach Hakna, is another matter entirely. That the Ravon does that here is highly significant. Okay, so the status of Pikadon is debated. We have some, the mainstream view, let's say, is Balitosis, but there are some divergences. The mainstream view in Milva is that it depends whether Harsha is Hakna'a or Shlichus. But here too we have those who diverge. We're just not sure the divergence has to do with Harsha or with Milva. What do I mean by Milva? Again, like we saw in the Balamor, in Bava Kama Daf Lamed Vav, where the Balamor thought that Be'eno Mesarev, you could not only be Makne, a Gezel, or Makdish, a Gezel to Hekdish, but you could also be, you could also commit Milva, or the equivalent of Milva, to Tzedakah. Right. So we know that according to the Balamor, we can occasionally, at least, maybe it's only in Hekdesh, it's hard to know, and we're also the Gwag of Sarasa Lahedjah, but at least from a certain point of view, that we can be Makdesh or Makne Milva. And the Ravon has to be looked at in light of that as well. The other side of the coin in Milva is, of course, the Rajba, which we began to discuss towards the end of last year. That is, that according to the Rajba, according to both Deos of Nahardoi, you certainly could not be Marsha, right, a Harsha, on a Milva, but that's because according to the Rajba, both Deos in Nahardoi are operating with the view that Harsha is Hakna. Unlike the Rishonim who think that that Gufa is the debate, like Balitosis, or those who think that the two Deos are all within Shlichus, which may be Rashi, the Rajba's view is the other view, the opposite view. Everybody agrees that Harsha'a is Hakna'a. The only question is, Hakna'a according to which standard? The standard of Hekdesh or the standard of Hakna'a in Kol HaTorah Kula? That will dictate whether or not the din of Rabbi Yochanan, Gezel V'lonus Yashua Bailin, Zeh Lefi She'ena Shalom, and even Zeh Lefi She'ena Breshusa, does that apply to Harsha or not? The debate isn't about Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, it's a davar pashut that Rabbi Yochanan's halacha is limited to hekdesh, to chilul, and to hefker. The chiddush, or the debate rather, is about Harsha. Do we look at Harsha like hekdesh, or do we look at Harsha like hakna? But that it's at minimum like hakna, that it can't be less than the standard of hakna. Kulal memodu. And therefore, according to the Rajba, there is no day on the Gemara that allows the writing of a Harsha on a Milva, which is a very, very, it's an extreme Shita, maybe. There are a few extreme points in the Rajba. And it also should be understood that that was a very Yikov Adina Sahar Shita for the Rajba to take, because people, apparently, if you just look at the Rishonim Ibn al-Attar, Balitosis and Chachmei Sfarad, people were collecting milvas with harshas all over the place. Basically, the Rajab was saying, there's nothing, there's no support for this, it's Asur Lagamri. Okay. Anyways. So having said all of this, so we have a significant range of shitas about Pikadon and about Milva. So let's get back to Harsha itself. Yeah.
When we talk about Milva, are we talking about Milva
Belpeh? We're talking about the Milva that is haknaable in an easy way. So let's assume Milva Belpeh. The Rajba himself, we'll read inside a couple of minutes some of the lines, notes that we might be machalik between Milva Belpeh and Milva Bishtar if you do it through Ksiva Masira or things of that sort. In other words, it isn't Milva per se that I'm focused on. It's whether the criterion of Hakna applies to Harsha. So if you can be Makne and Milva Bishtar through Ksiva Mesira, and you can actually transfer, I guess, you know, that bilus to the Mursha in the context of Harsha as well, then of course you'd overcome the problem, because it isn't, it's not exeris akasuv about milva, obviously. The question is, do the dine hakna dictate as far as Harsha is concerned? That's really the issue. And that's why he, in order to explain some of the evidence, in other words, Bali Tosis quote evidence, to prove that you really can write a Harsha even where there's no hakna, and specifically regarding milva, right? This big Tosis here, Amitalatwali, and Tosis in Parallel, Tosis in Shavuos, and they quote the sugyas in Bechoros and the sugyas in Bavasra, Kufchavav. There are three or four major sugyas that the Rishonim are quoting from. And then later on, the Chachmei Svarad picked up on this, the Ramban, or earlier the Ravid in his Kuntris, and then the Ramban in Mechamos, and in the Chidushim Bavasra, etc. So you have to navigate all that evidence. In other words, you know, the Rishonim were looking around and scrutinizing, and they came up with, you know, with Makaros after a few hundred years of discussing this topic. So every time they came across a piece of evidence, you know, they were very sensitive to it. So the Rajba has to, you know, he has to navigate through that evidence too, if he wants to argue that Lekula Alma, you don't have two deos even. Everybody agrees that there's Harsha, that there's no Harsha if there's no Hakna. So one of the ways that he suggested to resolve some of the problems is where the Gemara's really seem to say that there's Harsha and a Milva. So the Rajba thought maybe it's talking about a Milva Bishtar through Ksiva Umasira. That was a suggestion. As opposed to Milva Alpeh, or according to the Mandambar that we don't, even Ksiva Masira might not work, etc. So that's where you get that line in the Rajba. But what's important to take away from the Rajba is that you cannot break the equation between Hakna'a, at least the Hakna'a of Mekach HaMemkar, you know, if not the higher even requirements of Hekdesh and Harsha. That's the main linchpin of Rajba Shita in this sugya. And that he's unique. He's really unique, singular in his view. Okay. So what is exactly Harsha? So again, if you look at the different evidence that Daniel, you know, briefly recounted, so obviously it goes in different directions. The connection to Rabbi Yochanan obviously is easier understood for Hakna. If you're going to maintain Shlichus despite the connection to Rabbi Yochanan, so what you have to say is something very, very important, what we already said, which is that even Shlichus requires the capacity of Hakna, and that's because Shlichus, even if it's not Hakna itself, there's no Mesirus Shlichus in a Davar She'ein Bo Mesirus Bailus. That's a very, very crucial concept, if it's true, and it's something which those of us who studied Shlichus last year no has roots, even though this particular application is still not obvious. In other words, appointing somebody a shliach, even though you're not appointing, even though you're not, you know, designating him to do an act of hakna necessarily, or the hakna is only on your say. So at least between the two of you, between the mishaleach and the shliach, it isn't an act of hakna. Nonetheless, there is mesiras samchut or bailus, because that's, in order to be a shliach, a proper representative, I ought to have that, you know, there has to be a certain aspect of delegating responsibility, which requires the criterion of bailus. That would be an important yisod that would come from this sugya, if indeed, even according to the Mandam Bar Shlichus, there is the requirement of Rabbi Yochanan. On the other hand,
you're saying there's a requirement of Rabbi Yochanan, but assuming that also would be a problem for Hakna, or that you wouldn't require it for Hakna?
What I'm saying is, if you require Rishus for Hakna and you would impose that also on Harsha, even though Harsha is Shlichus, then the conclusion to reach would be that a Davar Shalonitan Lahaknos is also Lonitan Lahashvos Alav Shliach. Even if the Harsha itself is not Hakna.
Not everything that we saw here is necessarily Hakna, especially if you hold that Hakna actually don't need Rishus, then
no, I'm talking about according to the main. I'm not talking about the Rajba for the moment.
Like, you say according to the Rajba, so all we know is
assuming that a regular Hakna requires
the Rabbi Yochanan. Doesn't mean that everything here is requiring me to Hakna.
I'm sorry. I don't know.
Doesn't mean that everything that requires Rishuso is because it's a Hakna. It's not one different Rishuso. If you're being Magus, they're all, you know, capable of either.
Well, I'm assuming that the basic idea, which is, so if you don't make the Rajba's distinction, at the basic idea, which is, any ochal hakdisho is interchangeable with the words any ochal haknoso. That it's a shir nakno. It's at minimum a shir nakno. The main halacha is a shir nakno. That it also applies to gonif min haganav and some of the other issues that we discussed. Absolutely. Could one have been mechalik between the five different applications? We discussed that. But that the basic idea is that of Rabbi Yochanan is connected to Lachdisho, which is interchangeable with Lachnoso, for the Balitosis, for the Ramban as a Kal Vachomer, for 90% of the Rishonim, with the exception of the Rajba, that's the assumption I'm working with. Okay. So that is very, very important. The second piece of evidence, the La Bal Dvarm Didiat, and the formulation of Zildon Zechi Ve'apek Lenavsheikh, as well as the Gemara in Shavuos on Bipia Toveya, are also problematic initially if we're looking from the perspective of Shliach. Right? Again, if I woke up in your sleep and I said, Shlucho Shel Adam Kimosa, do you have to write, Zil Don Apik Lenavsheikh? I'm sure most of us would have for sure said no. I mean, you don't in a regular Shliach. If I had asked most people, can the guy say La Baldorm Didiat? You didn't know this Gemara here in Bava Kama, and I'm sure most people would have said, no, that's what Shlucho Shel Adam Kemosa means. It means that you represent the interests of the Mishaleach, and if he is happy to designate you in his stead, then so be it. I mean, the other fellow, it's not his business to challenge the Mishaleach's representation. And yet, the Gemara here says, La Bal Dvarm Didiat is a taina that can be made. So, again, if we're talking about hakna'a of some sort, we understand that. Shlichus, more difficult to understand. As for Yitofas HaMafkinan, as I mentioned before, that could be the crucial issue, depending on whether we're talking about the relationship between the Mishaleach or the Marsha and the Mursha, or we're talking about the Nitva and the Toveah, maybe depending on the two deos in Rashi. When the Gemara says that the Cholek is with that Nusach, with that idea, is based on Kivin de Kosve Kol de Misani Mendina Kabila Salai. So as I mentioned the other day, there's a Machlokas Rishonim what that is referring to. Somehow it denotes Shlichus. But why does it denote Shlichus? So the Rambam seems to say that it refers to expenses. Rambam says that line, Kol de Misani Mindina Kabila Salai, means any expenses that you incur in the process, this is your expense account. I cover expenses. That's the Rambam's explanation. The Rimel O'Neil has a different shot. He says that what these words mean are that the rule, again, those of you who were here last year, but will hopefully remember, appreciate this, the rule of Litkuni Shadartich Velo Lavisi, which is the rule of a shliach, Shemeshana Midas HaMishaleach, that you can distance yourself from him. Litkuni Shadartich, I sent you to do constructive work on my behalf, Velo Lavisi, and not to undermine my position. That idea that you can distance yourself from the initiatives that go bad. Again, what exactly the parameters of that are, we're not going to discuss now. We did discuss it last year. That halacha is included in these words, called the Misani Mindina Kabilis Olai. Basically, here in Mursha, we don't accept the rule of Litkuni Shadartich Velo La'avisi. So how does that signify Shlichus? And how does expenses signify Shlichus? So in both cases, I think the point is that it ties the Shliach to the Mishaleach. In the Rambam's case, by saying that the expenses are picked up by the Mishaleach, what we're essentially saying is that the Shliach continues to look back over his shoulder at the Mishaleach. As far as Litkuni Shadartich Velo Lavisi, there's a certain irony here, because on the one hand, if you eliminate Litkuni Shadartich, so what you're doing is you're creating a more independent Shliach, right? Because the Mishaleach is going to say, is not going to be able to say, I distance myself. I didn't give you that specific instruction, and therefore I don't stand by your shlichas. But I think the point of the Rima L'Neil is that you need the clause. The fact that you need the clause shows that you really are still a form of shlichas. Otherwise, if there's a form of haknah here, then you're independent even without the kol d'misani. Either way, the clause, whether it's about expenses or about nitkuni shadartich, again, it denotes something in the shlichos mishaleach realm. Okay. Then when the Gemara says shutaf shavya, again, that certainly points in the area of hakna. Whether we finally have the girsa shliach shavya, and that's the point of transition, remains to be seen. So my point is, if you look at these five or six points in the Gemara, some of them are much more compatible with shlichos, some are much more compatible with hakna. What we have to figure out in terms of the Rishonim is what's going on. So according to Bali Tosis, who say that gufa is the machlokas 2 days of Nahar Doi, so you can say this is all being played out on these details. Tafas mafkinan, lo mafkinan, betalta de kafre, not, shliach shavya, shutfin shavya, and Bali Tosis largely say that. The only problem Bali Tosis have is what about la bal dvarim didiat itself and zil don apik muzechila nafsheich? That seems to apply even the halacha, all things being equal. That's going to be a bit of a problem. Moreover, the fact is that in the end of the day, la bal dvarim didiat does apply to a regular shliach and doesn't apply to a morsha. And it's also true that the ability to impose a shvus edus on the other fellow is something that is limited to a morsha and doesn't apply to a regular shliach. As a simple reading of the Gemara is in the Mishnah in Lamed Heyom and Aleph, and then the Gemara in Lamed Gimel and Beis and Shavuos point to. So, if you want to say that in our Gemara these issues mostly depend on the machlokas 2 days of Nardai, Hakna versus shlichos, it's fine, except that even when you end up with shlichos, you still have to contend with labal dvarim didiat, at least with labal dvarim didiat, and with shvuos eidos, and we'll have to discuss that in a minute. On the other hand, can you have the girsa of shliach shavya if you hold a pure hakna? That's a question that was asked to the Rajba, and if you don't have that girsa, it's one thing, but if you have the girsa, you're going to have a serious problem. Okay. So I think if we step back, basically we can identify different approaches to harsha. One is that it's a pure shlichos halacha, and we just have to neutralize the rest of the evidence. Now the evidence can be neutralized in one of two ways. You can really neutralize the evidence and almost end up with no discrepancies between shluchos shonim kimoso and morsha. By saying that the Gemara changed its mind on many things. We'll see that in a moment. That's the Balamar. Or, even if you end up with certain discrepancies, you might want to explain that these discrepancies are more apparent than real. They have to do with special tainas or tanaim, implicit or explicit. But basically, we're dealing with the routine shluchos shonim kimoso. Explain in just a minute. It's one possibility. Or two ways to explain regular shlichos. I think a more fruitful way to go is to explain that there are levels within shlichos itself. And those of us, again, who learned the second paragraph of Kedushin last year know this to be true. We discussed it in great length last year. Right? What we noted was, there's the classical shluchos shonim kimoso, and even within the classical shluchos shonim kimoso, there's a huge debate: how kimoso is he? How independent is he? How dependent is he? And it's a very it's not only a question of how much; it might be very complicated for different things as well. Like, how do you define independence is an issue. Sometimes, when we say kimoso, a stronger kimoso means that he's more. He's in a position of greater authority, but that's only because we really view him as the mishaleach, not as the shliach. And sometimes his greater independence is as a result of being divorced from the Mishaleach. So there's even a dialectic of, you know, whether independence necessarily leads to greater power and jurisdiction for a Shliach. Right? On the one hand, the more dependent and really representative you are, the more you are really able to mimic the Bailim. On the other hand, as I say, you know, independence from the Bailim gives you, as you, more of a status in questions of Shlicha. So this is an issue we discussed a lot last year, but it's something that you should all be aware of, especially in the context of Parsha. So for example, last year we talked about there being different models of Shlicha. So within Shlicha Shalom Kimoso, there's a debate. And we also know that there are different models of shlichos. There's, again, just using some of the things we spoke about last year, the shlichos laholacha in a get, and the shlichos lekabbalah in a get. Shlichos lekabbalah in a get is a very passive, you know, almost extension, yado kiyad, you know, hamishaleach type of thing. There's no action, there's no decision, because a get is bal karcha, right? It's a shlichos, you know, of almost like a chatzer type of shlichus. Whereas shlichus laholacha, maybe exactly, in a get in particular, because it's balkarcha in the other direction, namely the shliach laholacha can now do something that, you know, imposes the baal's will on the isha, right? She has no right of refusal. I'm talking about midaraisa. So in that sense, the... you know, the shlichus laholacha, which is bal karcha, is maybe the most powerful kind of shlichus. We discussed whether in terms of mili lo mimsri l'shliach, we're not bechalik between shlich laholacha of a get and shlich holacha, let's say, of kiddushin, famous shita of the Mordechai, and in a different version of the Tosfos Rid. Again, we're not going to go into details. I'm just trying to point out that even in existing categories of shlichus, it's v'shilach, v'shilcha, there's, right, maybe that's why there are different makaros, as Tosfos Rosh points out. Shlichos lekabbalah, shlich laholacha, shlich laholacha and lekabbalah of gittin and separately of kiddushin, and then we had shlichos letruma, which we talked about a lot last year, and especially the Rambam's sheet of shlichos letruma, which is, by the way, what's the Rambam's famous sheet?
Unclear.
Unacceptable.
Once you want to take the water from the Nebe, so you can't be mavat on the shlichos.
Say that again?
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's what you meant by unclear? But
well, it's not unclear with B'nai Beso or anybody. Or
right, but he says B'nai Beso. Yeah. Okay. Which you actually like that feeling, as did I. But,
I did too.
But what's, and you did too. But what's the main, if we, what's the main Nakuda that's the most salient point? You clearly know it and are saying part of it, but what's the
if he messes up, then you can be
the last Mashiach. Exactly. Meaning the Rambam's Chiddush, when it comes to Shlichus Betruma, which is that you can't fire him unless he's Mishana Midas Balabayas. That the normal din of Ein Dibor, Mevatel, again, those who were not here last year, don't, I'm just trying to build a quick framework, but, you know, the details are not important to do that. But the point is that Ein Dibor, normally say Dibor is Mevatel Dibor, right? And yet, for some reason, a shliach latruma who is not mishane midas balabayis is somebody who cannot be fired. Right? Now, again, whether it has to do with b'nei beso or those are the details. That's absolutely correct. But the salient, unmistakable point in the Rambam, the controversial point in the Rambam is how can it be that you can have a shliach who cannot be fired? You know, unless he veers from the conditions of his midui. Okay. In other words, at minimum, it betokens a remarkably independent shlichus. Guy who can't be fired. Or, you know, we find this not only shlichus, but again, we explained last year, it might be because of the particular dynamic of what you need to do in shlichus betruma, more of an action than a bailus, or maybe because you didn't even really need shlichus betruma, and therefore when you have a chalos shlichus betruma, it's more independent. The various explanations that we discussed for Shitas HaRambam, why it is so. But again, the phenomenon is out there. All I'm trying to say right now is, we have a concept called shlichus shel adam kemoso. And one could have thought that all shlichus shel adam kemosos are the same. Right? When we learned those sugyas last year in the beginning of the second paragraph, we even noted the comment of the Rivash and Atshuva, which I admittedly expanded significantly, which is that how come sometimes the Gemara mentions Shlichos, it mentions Shlichos Shon Kimoso, and sometimes it just says Shlichos works, and doesn't say Kimoso. Right? Even that. But one could have thought, right, Havaminas Maskanas, different applications, one could have thought that, you know, good, that the Gemara is weighing all of this. It's an objectively, obvious question. How independent is the shliach from the mshaleach, and so on? So there are different indications. But at the end of the discussion, final analysis is going to be, you know, whatever it is, it is. Maybe it's an argument between the Rambam and the Raavad and the Rajba and the Ritva and Rav and Shmuel and Abaye and Rava. But what I'm trying to point out, though, is that's not true either. There's shlichos l'truma, there's shlichos l'korban pesach, there's shlichos l'shar kodshim, there's shlichos l'halacha, there's shlichos l'kabbalah. Now, in some of these things, there might be overarching and overlapping principles that apply throughout. What about katan? What about eved? You know, kodi bayavid, shliachi baymashvi. You know. But nonetheless, we can't deny that there are different models with some different dinim within the range of shlichos. And if that's true, then when we come to the question of harsha, in which there's conflicting evidence whether it is or isn't shlichos, and some of the evidence points to shlichos and other of it point to akna, so it's not unreasonable for us to suggest, oh, this too is part of that range. Just as there is halacha and kabbalah and gittin and kedushin halacha kabbalah and truma, right, and korban pesach, so too there is harsha. That too is a form or a different form of shlichos. So if we find the debate within the regular kimoso, how independent, right? Again, I mentioned koli bayavid shliach ibay mashvi. So everybody discusses, you know. In terms of the Achronim beginning with the Ksos, not beginning, but made particularly famous by the Ksos, the Machlokas between the Rambam and the Tur, right? What if you happen to have a person who was Mimana Shliach to divorce his wife, and then he was Nishtata, but he did the Minu Shlichos already? So do we still say Kol Di'ibay Avid Shliach Ibay Mashvi on the Kiyum HaShlichos, or only on the Minu HaShlichos? Right, the debate also, possibly the debate in the Rosh in the end of Kiddushin about a goses. Right, if you hold, like Rabbeinu Yoel, that a goses cannot be megarish as ishto, so what if he was memana shliach before he was a goses, and then he became a goses, but the shliach hasn't yet done the job? So do we have this rule, since he can't be megarish now, right, so you can't implement, even though the minui already took place, the gerushin is. That's one issue. Right? It's a big issue, but it's an issue. The question of get lachar misa, right? Is this another one that the Ksos particularly made famous? But machlokes in Rashi and Tosas and Gittin, daf yud gimel, we say ain't get lachar misa. Is that because, like Rashi says, well, there's no get lachar misa because she's no longer an eishes ish. So there's nobody to be megarish anymore. And the Bali Tosas say, no, that isn't the reason. The reason is because ain't shlichos lachar misa, even if there was eishes ish lachar misa. So the Ksos thinks, again, that has to do with this question, how kimoso is the shlich? So it's a very, very big and a very complicated question, and as I said before, it's important to keep in mind that, you know, it's not a linear question either. I mean, it's not all a question of, you know, more and less. Sometimes you get more power when you're more dependent and you know, a mask for the Mishaleach. More power and maybe less, more power, more independence in performing vis-a-vis the other parties, but less independence vis-a-vis the Mishaleach. So it's a very complicated issue. Is it possible then that that's exactly what a Morsha is. The idea of Morsha is that Shluchot Shalom Kimoso is still tied to the Mishaleach, too much to the Mishaleach. It's not something that has to be recognized by the Baldavar. Therefore, you can say, La Baldvarim Didiat. I don't recognize, that's between you and the Mishaleach. Right? But if you really want to collect from me, then you have to be independent. You don't have to be a Bailim, but maybe you at least have to be independent from the Mishaleach, the Marsha. So you need Zildon Apik Lanavshech. Same may be true for Shavuos Eidos. Right? You have to have the requirement in Shavuos Eidos that it has to be Mipia Toveya. So if you're a mouthpiece, an expensive mouthpiece, an accurate mouthpiece, but nothing but a mouthpiece, then maybe that's not Mipia Toveya. Mipia Toveya means that you have a certain measure of independence. To get that measure of independence, right, you have to be given it. Zil apik don lenafshe. If that's what we're talking about, that kind of a shlichus, a more independent shlichus, so then, getting back to Rabbi Yochanan, right, if Rabbi Yochanan is connected even to the mandamar, that harsha is shlichus, if it's the regular shluchos shonim kimoso, that's a very big chiddush. Connecting mesiras bailus and minui shlichus. If at least we're talking about a morsha, a more independent shlichus, so then the idea that dafka here you require the criterion of Rabbi Yochanan is still a chiddush, right? But a lesser chiddush. Okay, there were a few questions. Yeah.
Why would we say that independent stature is sufficient to call somebody to be piyat tovea? Because that sounds like it's precisely the opposite.
Well, as I say, you can go either way, but you have to look at the evidence and see what you think it's where you think it's taking you. Meaning, if you are, you know, almost completely subsumed by the Mishaleach, so I say, well, you know, how can I say La Baldorim Didiach, and how can I say it's not Mipia Toveya? When I look at you, I'm looking at the Mishaleach. If you want to go, if you think that that the mechanisms of Harsha are giving you that, then I agree with it. It goes to the dialectic of what I spoke of before. So then it's not a new Toveya, or an independent Toveya, it's, when I look at you, you are Alpidin, you are the Mishaleach, you're an extension of the Mishaleach. His lips, his eyes, you know, I thought he had blue eyes, but now I guess he has brown, or maybe the Shliach now has blue. Meaning, he there's no difference he is subsumed completely, he's Batel Legamri in this matter, of course, to the Mishaleach. That's one way to go with it. But then you have to think that Zildon Apek Lenafsheikh and Tafas Lo Mafkinan, you have to think that all these things are supporting that view. Now, if Tafas Lo Mafkinan means the relationship between the Mursha and the Nitva, it's possible to say that. Right? But if you think Zil Apik, Don Lenafsheikh, and Tafas Lo Mafkinan, if these things refer to the relationship between the Marsha and the Morsha, then you have to go the other way. Then you have to say that Mipia Toveya and La Baldvarim Didiat, the issue is, I don't want to deal with a lackey. I don't want to deal with a mouthpiece. A second, if you're the Baldavar, then I want to deal with you. So the way around that is not to make me him, but to give me independent stature. So I'm not a lackey. I have a certain independent stature in this Din Torah. So I become a balamomon, I become a toveya, I become a baldava.
There's just one link missing there. I can say the person can be very independent, but that should be in more trouble than before. Because now he's really not the baldava.
Well, I understand. I understand. So that's what I'm saying. You have to go.
What's that crucial link, which says you're independent?
I don't. Obviously, we're saying that. Right. So obviously, we're assuming that you don't have to go to the point of hakna. We need you to be independent. It's like I'm saying before. It's. We don't. I don't want to deal with a lackey, but you're not a lackey. You were given independent jurisdiction in this matter. You are an authorized agent. You have power of attorney. A person who has power of attorney isn't a lackey. You know, a messenger, who has to look over his shoulder or hear through or be instructed through an earpiece. He is a second class citizen when it comes to this transaction. But by virtue of the fact that you are, authorized and delegated authority to speak, independently, to make decisions, that don't require that we return to the, even to the point of if you want to challenge his actual ownership, wow, even ad kedei kach, how far do we push it? We would have to assume, according to this perspective, that would be enough to be considered mipi atoveya, even though it is clouding the issue in a way. You're right. But we'd have to say that the chisaron of labal dvarim and mipi atoveya isn't the cloudiness of it, it's the lack, the lackiness, of it. Understand what I'm saying? Now, according to the Rajba, will tell you that none of this is enough. The Rajba is going to tell you, mimanavshach, the shlichus, shlichus shadim kemoso, and if you want to really be a balamaman and a baldavar, then you've got to be a kodem in Akanami. I'm just saying, for a group of Rishonim, this is a fruitful perspective, even though your Ha'ara is correct, namely making him either Bata Legamri, so he's indistinguishable from the he's simply the microphone of. So it's not a lackey, I'm dealing with him, I'm dealing with the Baldavar himself. That's one way to do it, but then you have to think that all these mechanisms are accomplishing that. Or you have to go for this, I'm not a lackey, I'm an independent agent, albeit not a Kona, but an independent agent, and that sufficiently addresses these issues.
And would we say that even when there's no hakmah, we're saying that the person has so much power to
maybe
power that he would even challenge the person against
him? We'll discuss that. We certainly wouldn't have difficulty with saying the mafkina mine. But the point of lo mafkina mine would be, if he wants to exercise his full independence, maybe he can't keep it as a bailim if he wasn't given aknah. But maybe it's his decision when he wants to give it back. Maybe that would be the point. That too would show a great measure of independence. He's not a gazlan when he's machzik the chayfetz, because being machzik the chayfetz is part of what makes him a baldavar, right? So even though, now, if you ask me, what can he do with the chayfetz? Can he spend it? Can he be makdashit, himself? Can he be maknit? Now, even the Mandamar says the tafas lo mafkinim, it doesn't say that. I think if you take the view that he's independent shliach, you'd have to say he cannot be forced. It's almost like a, matana manasal haqzir type of situation, according to some Rishonim, which is, he cannot be forced to give it back. His tfisa, except that this isn't kinyan, it's less. His tfisa is not something that can be in his, hachzakas achefetz is not something that can be interfered with before he, agrees to it. I think that's still short of violence. Yeah.
Yeah. If one didn't want to understand this as a hakana, or even perhaps as the independent shlichus,
right?
One might understand exactly that the lashon of zchila nafshach does not relate to the power of the shlichus, but to its scope. In other words, you're basically saying that I want you to be not only to engage in the din on my behalf, but also to be zocha for yourself, but on my behalf. In other words, you're saying that it's not just that. There's one thing you could have just said. I'm pointing you to engage in the din.
Right.
Zchia, the din would be I'm the zakai. When the base pasuk is zakai, I'm the zakai. The marsha.
You're making him a baldavar.
Nafshach, you're the zakai.
So are you suggesting that there's something in between shlichus and hakna, something called being makna by the status of baldavar to someone?
No. What I'm saying is that let's say even if it's only shlichus, you might say that shlichus by itself, without any formulation of zechid nafshach, might allow the person, might give the person the status of me or
who's the name? Mishalayach?
Mishalayach, yeah, the marshal.
Okay.
In terms of engaging in the din, but the psakim would still be between me, meaning the marsha, and the nido. You might say that doesn't get around the problem of love.
You have to
be zocha. That guy has to be zocha lenarshach for himself.
But what does that mean?
Meaning it has to be
separate
that
from
that the.
You,
I'm saying, in other words, what you're saying is then that the...
In the docket of the court case, you're saying. It's not going to be
Reuven
and Levi. It's going to, Reuven meaning the Marsha and Levi, the Nitva. It's going to be a court case between Shimon, the Shliach.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying you'd have a hard time explaining why that should be if Shimon is just a regular Shlucho Kamosa.
No, I'm saying that he's representing me. But the point is that I could have said that his representation of me only goes so far as his presence there in Basin. But in terms of who on behalf of whom the din is being paskined,
right.
I mean who's the beneficiary?
Who is the
that
beneficiary?
Would be the Marsha. And that you might have said that's a problem still of Labo of Mediyat, and for that you need Zechi and Asha.
And so in the end is the court case between who is Zocha? Shimon?
Well, it's the extended meaning it's the puppet.
I'm just saying.
No, in other words,
I don't see
it's
the
him,
between
but as a puppet
here.
Of me.
In Bitotzah, I think that the Morsha is the one who gets it. So, practically speaking, it's between
the
Morsha and the
Nitva, is not the one who gets it in the end.
I think that
I'm saying is that he's asking in behalf of Morsha, but there's a sort of
side deal between the Marsha.
Really
right. So I'm saying, but to do that, you have to have expanded on some level. In a Din Torah, that's why I asked you whose name is on the docket.
Right.
No. So basically, what you are suggesting in the end of the. In the end of the argument, you're still suggesting that he becomes a baldavar. The Morsha becomes a baldavar.
Okay, I'm comfortable saying that the shame...
No, I happen to think that there is such a possibility.
I'm comfortable saying that the shame of the Marsha is on the docket, but the point is that the Marsha will also be... It's not just that he has to be on the docket, he has to be there to receive the Zechiah, but if he's not there, then it won't work. But in this case, we're saying that this guy is representing him for the Zechiah as well.
And that has nothing to do with either independent shlichus or being a baldavar le'inyan something?
He's a puppet.
You want to go the way Jonathan was saying before? He's a pure puppet? A mouthpiece?
Yeah. What did you call it before?
No.
Lackey.
Lackey? Yeah.
Oh, you want to make him more of a lackey?
Yeah.
And zil apik, and what is the tafas mafkin I'm going to do? So you're saying what Jonathan was saying before.
I'm not doing it.
So you're saying the first idea of Jonathan was saying.
Well, he wasn't... I'm saying you... Well, you asked
I was rejecting it because...
Yeah, you were asking him, how would you understand the Lashon of Zil...
Okay, I asked him two questions.
You could understand... No, I think you're right, that you had to be for the... It wouldn't help with the speech.
Okay.
I'm saying, but in terms of the Nashash, you might say that's expanding the scope of the show, because I could have said that.
Okay, good.
So you're saying... You have the ability to, but not...
I hear. Okay, so now you're saying basically the lackey approach.
Yeah.
You're a pure lackey. You don't exist on your own. I'm not saying you lab al drum didiyah, because you're not coming as Shimon. You're extended Reuven.
Still, if
I understand.
You know,
but it wouldn't help you for the tafas. Okay, good. Yeah, no, I agree. You have to either be purely, as in regular kamos, as I say, clearly bottled, completely bottled to the mishaleach, or you have to be independent. I also think there is a middle sheet, which I thought you were saying, but you're not, and that is, can you give somebody the status of a baldavar, linyan tviya, but just not linyan the mamo? That's a chiddush. We'll see if there are some rishonim who are trying to say that as well. Okay, so let's get back to some of the specific shittos and see whether any of this exists or not. Rashi. So we know in Rashi, we know what we know, which is that according to the Lishna Kama, where there's a connection to Rabbi Yochanan, Rashi holds shlichus. We had, Eitan, right? Eitan read it last time. Correct?
Yeah.
Except that Eitan also pointed out that Rashi uses the language of Eitan?
Lahaknos.
So we're just not 100% sure whether or not, this criterion of Rabbi Yochanan is something that applies to all shlichos, or applies only to the shlichos of Lahaknos, namely the shlichos which really works for the didi, for Labal Dvarm Didiyat, and for Mipia Toveya, and so on. Okay. That's what we're not sure about. Okay. There is, however, one other Rashi, or two other points in Rashi to add to the mix. One is the Rashi in, it's hard to know whether to mix and match Rashis, but let's assume for the moment. One is the Rashi in Shavuos, two Rashis in Shavuos, Taflam and Gimel. What do they say, the Rashis in Shavuos? What's significant about the Rashis in Shavuos? Jakey, did you get a chance? Michael? No, Leo?
Something that you've never had before.
Excellent. Right. Again, it's something that you've never... Rashi has a chiddush. Is it a chiddush?
Yeah.
And Rishonim call it a chiddush.
Yeah.
Rajma says it's a chiddush, and what does the Miri say about it?
Divrei Nevi'os.
Divrei Nevi'os. Okay. which, you know, wasn't meant, you know, he was just astonished. We're quoting it not because we want to, you know, cast aspersions on Rashi, we just want to show how much of a kiddush it is. So the Rashba and Meiri highlight that what Rashi says is a big kiddush. What motivates Rashi? What's he trying to explain there?
The case of the fact that a man is pito.
Yeah.
He says he's talking about someone else, and the reason it doesn't work is because you can't have Arsha in that case.
You can't have Arsha in something which you never had any connection to. So again, the Rishonim say it's a very big Kiddush, and they disagree, obviously. So what do you make of that? Is that a rule in Hilchos Shlichus in general?
He's talking about specifically Arsha, no?
Yeah, exactly. And there's one other point to be made in Rashi, and that is that Rashi's definition, when he tries to explain what is Urchasa and Arsha, what does he say it is? Shultana. So it's possible when you put together the Rashi's. By the way, I should add also that the Rishonim discuss, does Rashi's Shita, in that unique Shita about, you know, Ein Kosvin Harshal Davar Shemei Olam Lohaya Bershusa, does that preclude Milva? That's an interesting argument. So did you see anybody that discusses that? I think I didn't give it. Did I give the Ritva on Shavuos or not? Probably not. Assuming I did.
The Mechamas does a small discussion, isn't
it? What?
The Mechamas discusses it to some extent.
No, so this is a general Kavtam, but within Rashi. Oh. Within this Ha'ara of Rashi, that this Kiddush of Rashi, that you can't write a Harsha on something which Me'olam, you know, was never in your Rashus. So what would Rashi say about Milva? In general, we're not really sure what Rashi's sheet is about Milva. But the Ritva in Shavuos speaks about it. The Ritva in Shavuos says, I think that according to Rashi, you could write a Harsha on a Milva, and that's different than what Rashi is describing in Ones and Pitui. Well, technically, it is different. I mean, in Milva, maybe Lahotza and Ditna, but it's not something which you never had any Shaychus to. But the question is, you know, should you draw that line or not? So the Ritva says yes, and then the Tziv says it as well, in his Perish on the Shiltos. He quotes this Rashi, and he says, I don't think that Rashi means Milva. I think he's saying something beyond Milva. Which would put Rashi, even in Shavuos, if that were to be true. I mean, again, we don't really 100% know. But when Rashi says Shultana, and he says this Kiddush, is he operating within the view of some sort of Shlichus, or not? And I remember the Sugya in Shavuos is also dealing with the second Lashon, which is easier to say shlichus, even the Bali Tosas think the second law should be shlichus. So the point is, this requirement that you can only create this kind of harsh of shlichus, but it's not a general din in shlichus. You know, for something shemeolam baler shuscha, maybe Rashi's way of explaining also the other phenomena, which is how come all of a sudden shlichus shonim kamoso isn't good enough for mipia tobeya. And it isn't good enough for overcoming the claim of La'abal Dvarim Didiyat. The answer is, for the same reason that the Gemara thought that it depends on Rabbi Yochanan. And maybe that's not true La'halacha. We're not 100% sure. But remember, Rashi here was saying that at least the Shlichus of Harshad requires a criterion of Rabbi Yochanan. So if you put it all together, maybe this is Rashi Shita, that a Mursha is a independent shliach. He's a super shliach. He's a more independent shliach. And therefore you have these criteria. That would work nicely according to the overall sheet of Rashi, and I think many other Rishonim take this view as well, and that's why he calls it Shultana as well. That's what Urchasa is. This may be the Pshat and Tosis. It's hard to know. As we discussed, number one, on the one hand, Tosis doesn't have the connection at all to Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, just give me one more second just to get through Tosis. Because the way Tosis reads the Gemara, right, unlike Rashi, the 2 days in the Gemara itself are Machlokas, Shlichus, and Akna. And the first day holds Akna. And if you hold Akna, then it's all over, right? Of course you hold Akna, and you hold that Rabbi Yochanan's halacha applies not only to Hekdesh, but to Akna, and that they're equivalent, which is what Tosis holds. So then, end of story. But according to the second day of Shliach Shavio, and it applies to Milva, and it doesn't depend on Rabbi Yochanan anymore, which is exactly what Tosa says. So we don't have any raya that the shlichus of Harsha'a is, that a shlichus in general or the shlichus of Harsha'a in particular require the criterion of Rabbi Yochanan, or that at all. Okay. But we still have the question that the Rajma asks, which is, so if anybody's going to really hold that Arsha is a form of Shlichus, so what are the Rajma's questions? I mean, we know them, but Eliyahu, we saw?
The Rajma's questions, if you
have Arsha is Shlichus. If Arsha is Shlichus, then what's going to be really problematic? Correct. Zildon, he's the one who says it just the most explicitly, right? He says that formulation is not a requirement of shlichus; it's hakna, right? V'nirli divrei Rambam. He's talking about Harsha not working for Milva. Earlier already, he says. Milva peshi yafshel haknosa lebemayim etshlosh and afagav lo kafre yafshel liktov ala harsha, and so on. After all, kivin darmina de kol adrachta de lokosiv bezil don apik lanashik lav adrachta. He means orchasa. Im efshar lezakos lo kikosiv le may mahani le de lo olamatzi amar le idak zil lav al dvarim didiat. Then he quotes the Rambam, and then he quotes v'yesh mi she'omer, which is the Rishonim will argue, Tosfos and Ramban. Then he says, "V'nirali divrei Rambam chada da boy lemichtav zil don apik lenafshech." V'imef shalahaknos hechiotzi laatzmo kemosha kasafti lemala. Badain shlichahu matzil lemeimar hech laval dram didiat. Umahu ilu chachamim betakana zil don v'apik lenafshech. Ilu nyandina lemala v'lemorid. Mashus lemilu drabanan kechucha. Beod haru beperkashua saedos v'babar shah. Rajba, if you notice, inserted a phrase that doesn't appear in the Gemara. The Gemara says you have to have the Shavua imposed. How does it go, Eliyahu? What's the phrase in the Gemara in Shavuos? What does the Gemara require in Shavuos for Shavuos Eidos? Rajba says, that what the Gemara says? Kol she'en chayein kofrin lebala mamon? Mipia toveya. You have to be a mipia toveya. The Gemara didn't say anything about being the bala mamon. The Rajba interpreted mipia toveya as bala mamon. Dechsiv im lo yagid, v'darshin im lo yagid. Hari ein kan bala mamon al shulcha bi'alma. Right? The Gemara here says baldin, and the Gemara there says toveya. Neither of them say bala momon. El kol shabab harsha konehu ubal momonu. Te dalach da amra meimar itafis la mafkina mine. So number one, zildon lanafshe. Number two, mipi hatovea, which he interprets mipi bala momon. Number three, what about a meimar? A meimar said itafas lo mafkina mine. How can that be if it's a shliach? Right? He's assuming, probably, that it's between the Marsha and the Mursha. So if he's only a Shliach, what do you mean he tofas lo mafkinon? The Avagav! Now, of course, the next line is going to be crucial. Namely, what's everybody going to scream and say? Oh, that's Gufa, the machlokes between Ravashi and Amemar. That's Gufa the argument. So the Rajma knows that you're going to say that. So he says, V'afagav d'amar avashi, kivitiksiv kol nesanis mendina alai, hadar shliach shavya. But the Raj is a maximalist too. You know, he's not going to give in. B'dina paligalei da meimar, aval b'maydikasvinan harsha'alei lo paligalei, which is his way of saying, don't think that that is the transition point in the Gemara. That's the point of the Gemara where the Gemara is arguing gufa about harsha versus, that's what Bali tells us, will say. Right? He says, no, not at all. All the evidence based on La Baldvarim in the Gemara and Shavuos and reflected in the extreme. You know, when we say this, you know, the Havaminas or the Deos, you know, the Rishonim did this. That the idea of a Meimar, that all shows that it's Hakna. Ravashi was making an adjustment within a Meimar. He was arguing about a Prat. He was arguing whether or not Im Tafas Mafkinan or Lo Mafkinan. But he wasn't arguing about the nature of Harsha and whether or not Harshas are going to apply to Milvas or not. It's a detail. The Ikadamri came in the Kasav Lehani Treilishni Shutfa Shavya. Aye, so the only question you have to ask is, and what about Shliach Shavya? Doesn't that pretty much say the opposite of what the Rajba wants? So what does he say to that, Elio? But that's the biggest nuisance left, you know, in terms of the evidence for the Rajba is that. And of course the Gemaras that seem to say that Michael was referring to earlier, that you can have a Harshana Milva. So in those Gemaras he says he comes up with Hakna possibilities. Hareini Chozar al Arayos, right? And he explains. What about the Shliach Shavya?
It's only
that the Marisha could be Motzi. Not Motzi, but Chozer. Right? That's the Rajba's big Kiddush. One second. The Afagav, the Kaimel and Karavashi, the Shliach Shavya, Ani Mila Linyan Chazara. It's an open hakna. Right? As long as the hakna is in place. And that'll also explain the question of tafas mafkinim and lo mafkinim minei. Why it is only a prat. If it's really hakna, right, then you should go according to im tafas lo motzim miyado. It seems like we paskin im tafas motzim miyado. So actually, the two difficulties reinforce each other. Hani b'lelinin chazara sheyachal amar shalachzor lahotzim mina avol kol shelo chazar harev shelo de'ino lekematana or the kemasna rather zil don ve'apik lenafshech uzechila garmech kol zman shelo achzor bi kinen shomim mavreches hilka chashta mi abal dvarim shel nitvahu avol divrei mi sheomer shekolso nafilu bevilva apeh varekash eichayavim. As for the evidence, I said the evidence, he'll explain it's all cases of Hakna. Or if they have the Milva cases, are cases of Ksiva Mesira. I, the two Lashonas of Nahardai. What's the Rajma's answer to the two Lashonas of Nahardai? That we know, that's what we've been saying all along. Michael?
They're both Hakna.
The two Deus of Har Nahardai both agree on Hakna.
They only argue on how Rabbi Yochanan impacts Harshah and whether or not.
There's the big chiddush of the Rajba because of this whole. You see just how the ripples. You know, you take a stand on one thing based on your total understanding, your total conviction in the total sugya, obviously, and then you have to decide what is ikar, what is tafa. How do you then negotiate the rest of the sugyas and what conclusions you reach? It seems like the Rajma was just totally convinced that Harsha, according to both Deos, is Hakna. And then, to reread the Gemara with Rabbi Yochanan and so on, he came to a very, very, very important, radical conclusion, namely that Rabbi Yochanan's halacha is limited to Hekdesh. Based on Gzeres HaKasav.
According to one of the...
No, according to both Deos. The two deos are, does Harsha depend on the criterion of Hakna? That's the second deo. Or does it depend on the criterion of Hakdasha?
Can't we say that it's the two deos are, does Harsha?
It doesn't seem, you could have, but it doesn't, he doesn't.
Isn't that where Rashba has a line of Zahu Zamasha Yeshbeina?
Yeah, I'll read that line. Yeah, I think that's what he says. V'nafgamina legezel, we talked about the riches. V'nafgamina legezel shehu be'ein biyad ha'gazlan, v'lo nesiyo ha'shu ha'baylim, v'inami milva b'shtar, she'aval b'sheni yochel ha'akdish, t'gzeres ha'kosavu, mitaksiv, this is the two lashonos, ki yakdish es beso, ma beso b'shuso, av kol b'shuso, aval b'mecher o b'matana yochel itnim, v'lezakos agav karka, o b'chalipin, v'ho, hu de'ika bein lishna kamal lishna basra, Binami milva b'shtar b'shehiknol b'harsha b'ksivu mesira. Avo milva alpe. One second, she yefshal aknosa ela b'maim b'shloshon. Avo gav lo kafre. Yefshal lifta v'la harsha. Lishna basra k'lishna kama. Kivin arminim kol urchasa de lo kasa bezil don la pekanav shechlav urchasa. V'im yefshal azakos kikasa v'la maim ahani. That's what I'm reading before. And then again, just one more second. He repeats it later on. Ela kol shabo b'harsha kono balamamon hu. Vim tomar imkain. This is several paragraphs later. It's a very long piece. Imkain my nafka bein lishna kama lishna basra. Kfar kosavti lamala de nafka mina lamilva b'shtar. De lishna kama li olam lo kosvinan. Ela bedavar shehu birshuso mamish, v'yachal lahakadisho kepikadon. This is harsha, but even the lishna kama agrees that hakna doesn't require this. Umilva filu b'shtar yafshal lahakadisho. Harsha is hakna according to both lashonos.
Right.
According to the first lashon, harsha is hakna with the criterion of hekdesh. And it's a harsha, it's a hakna that requires not only bailus, but rishus. That's exactly the words that he's saying. The lishna kama la'olam lo kasvinan ele bedavar shehu birshuso mamish. Right? The yochal lahakdisho, kipikadon, as opposed to davar sheyochal lahaknoso, which is doesn't require rishus. In other words, according to lishna kama, you could be makne a chefetz hagazol. You just can't be makdish a chayvat agaza. Umil vafil b'shtar yefshar lahakdisho shena b'shuso vafil lemachra v'litna yefshar dvar Torah yav b'shefshar lemachra b'drabanan kivin dein el hakna grua shen kosel amashu b'shuso mamish. This is the first lashon kipikadam shen ratzal lahakdish makdish vila lishna basra kosel amil b'shtar v'hudlo kafre v'inam yafilu kafre. So it's perfectly clear that the Rajba, again, because of his view on Harsha, reread the whole sugya of Rabbi Yochanan. But then you have to say, as I said last time, that Birshuso is not a din in Bailus, in the, at least, it's not an equal of a Bailus in Akna, it's a din of Birshuso, which is a Tanai in Hekdesh. You also have to say that Hekdesh requires more than Akna, but not only Hekdesh. Hekdesh, Kilul, and Hefker. That's where there's Kriyas Shem, for the very reasoning that we were discussing, maybe for the Rambam Lahalacha, maybe for Bali Tosis and the Habamina, right? Maybe for the Ramban, even though both are true, but in the Kol Shekein of the Ramban, or the Kal V'chomer of the Ramban, for the very reason we thought that Hefker, Hekdesh, and Kilul may require less, for that very reason, according to the Rajba, you require more. To be matfis, shame, a yoredeya shame, a shame iser. On a chayfetz, you have to have not only bailus, but rishus. And the question is, in terms of harsha, and then the question would be why, was it about, what is it about harsha that also requires this higher form of hakna, of rishus? Apparently because, as much as it is complete hakna, the fact that he can be chozer, and he doesn't say this, he doesn't ask the question, there's no tomer, there's no yeshlomer, I'm saying it. That's, in the end of the day, why? What's the reason of the lishna kama? To say about hekdesh and chilul and hefker that you require either more or less, I understand. But if harsha really is hakna, and that's why you are the baldvarim, you're the new baldvarim. Right, so what's the problem? Why would you need more than what you need for Hakna? So I think that there are 2 points. Number one, we're in the middle of a Din Torah. Right? And we're switching Bailim. In other words, you stole A's object. And the question is, who's going to impose the Shavua upon you? So now A sold the object, the Chefetz HaGazel, to B. Through a Harsha. We want to know, is that going to be Mipia Toveya? Or in terms of Gviya, can you say La Bal Dvarim Didi? I didn't borrow the money from you. I borrowed the money from him. So I think that in itself, the fact that there is a changing of the guard here, and that the initial hischaivus, whether it's the Maisavera, or I stole the chafetz from his rishos, and even if it isn't Geza, right? So whatever Din Torah is about, whatever the Tzvi is about, so I still dealt, whatever Maisa I did, I dealt did with him. I can still decide I don't want to acknowledge the transfer after the fact. I'm willing to live up to my responsibilities to A. Right? To B, his who he transacted with subsequent to me, I don't recognize it. So for that claim or lack of recognition, A. And maybe separately B or also B, I'm not sure. And the fact of the matter is that on some level, especially if you hold Shliach Shavya, so he, as much as right now he's an independent operator, right, it's Biyado Lachsor. I'm just not sure whether or not this whole Lishnakama is assuming Ravashi's Shliach Shavav Yachal Lachsor or not. If it's Yachal Lachsor, I think it's easier. Otherwise, you have to say the first. Yeah.
Is it clear that Ravashi thought they stole it from Yochum was in both of the
Shliach? That the what?
This understanding of Yochum is part of my focus.
No, that's what Michael was saying before. I think it's clear. I think if you read the Rajba, I think it's 100% clear. That his conclusion, I think that one could have taken the Rajba's view and suggested that Shakla Vatari in the Gemara. If you read the Rajba, I think it's crystal, crystal clear. I think so. I mean, I read the two parts where he says it, does he say it a third time or not? I think so. And I think it's also pretty clear in the... I'll look at it again. I'll look at the end part. But I think it's also pretty clear in the Rajba and Shavuos, which is very consistent on this point, and Tshuvas. And it's... I mean, what he's portraying is that the din of Rishuso is a din in Hekdesh. And again, he doesn't say the words Chil and Hefker, but by extension, you have to say that. So all I'm asking is, so what would be the rationale in Lishna Kama to say that you need more than Akna? So if you want to say that Ravashi's Shliach Shavya is built into the Lishna Kama, I think that clearly is a good explanation. Namely, there's a vulner... I'm going to deal with you because you're the Bailim, and then we're going to undo all of that. He's going to be Chozer. So for that, you need a higher form to begin with. If not, if it's separate from the Shliach Shavya, if it's even according to the Mandamar that there's no Chazara... then I think it's the changing of violence. Again, I don't recognize the transaction. He's not the guy I owe things to. And not everything is about dollars and cents. Now he's the owner of the dollars and cents. But the act of kvishas mamon, or kfiras milva, or kfiras pikadon, whatever it is something that I did to you. We had a relationship. There's a chovas haguf, like we discussed last year. What is the relationship between shibud haguf and shibud nechasa? In a way, what I'm saying is, this is a Shibud HaGuf issue for me. Labal Dvarim Didiyan. You know, you're not my Toveya. It's a very important Yisod, though. The Rajah. Yeah. Yoni, you had a question?
Doesn't
the
Rajah himself say that because of
Akhna
Meruah, because of Kriposim?
No. He says Akhna Gruah about... I thought he says Akhna Gruah about Milva. Milva Alpeh. Drabanan... You're talking about Elakno Grua?
Yeah.
Sorry, Lishna Kama, the Kivin Elakno Grua, Shamarsha Yachalahotsi, Miyana Mursha, Vafilu Tafas. Oh, come on. Yeah, okay. But he's saying that specifically about...
That's good.
Right, but I think the only problem I have with that I'm not sure that's the whole explanation, is because here he's explaining it in terms of milva. It says milva filu bishtar yefshar laktisha shenu brishuso tafilu machra v'litna yefshar dvar Torah v'alpi shefshar l'machra midrabanan savri lishnekama kivadena laknogra. I'm not sure whether it's only, but maybe I prefer it this way. Yeah, that's what we're explaining. I'm just saying, and if you hold like Ravashi, and that's based on what he says later in Ravashi, that's a pshat and shliach shavu, we understand this. But what I'm saying is, and before you get to that, before you get to that point in the Gemara, would be any other way of explaining this idea? I'm saying, I think possibly he would just be saying, I don't recognize, Baal Dabra would be saying, I don't recognize the change in Dinei Mamonos ownership. Unless it's a change that, you know, is really strongly rooted. Strongly rooted means it's not just based on Bailus, it's based on Rishos. Yeah, those are the lines we're reading. Okay, that's the Rashba. So what would Bali Tosis answer to all this? Yeah?
I just didn't understand what the Chesaron of Rishos had to do with making this stronger. If it's a question of Shibud Hagur, you can't avoid that. I say, well, I have Rishos also. What is this magic Rishos? So it means you can transfer the Chob as Hagur from the relationship. What does it have to do with Hektish?
Well, I think you have to ask. I mean, I think your second question is my answer to your first question, which is, even though we're suggesting that hekdesh, I'm sorry, that the factor of inner b'shuso is not a ma'akev in bailus, in the minimum definition of bailus, the haraya according to the Rashba, you can be makna gezov lan siyoshua bailim and so on, but. You know, we still have to explain the Gzeres HaKasuv of Mabeso Mershuso when it comes to Hekdesh. Right? So obviously it is a higher form of Bailus or a better form of transfer, however you want to put it. Otherwise it wouldn't apply to Hekdesh. And it's not even limited to a Gzeres HaKasuv. You might have said, okay, it's a special Gzeres HaKasuv in Hekdesh, we don't know what it means. Right? But the Gemara does apply it to Chilol and Hefker. So obviously they think that it reflects, you know, a certain higher level of bilus or a higher, as I say, or a more effective, seamless level of transfer. Once that is true, that higher bilus or more effective method of transfer is necessary to counter the claims of La Baldrom Didiat, or Ein Zeh Mipia Toveya. It is Mipia Toveya because it isn't just a, you know, technical, formal, bailus transaction. In a way, I would say he was giving over the Shibud Haguf too. Meaning I'm able to give him fully everything that I had. That's the point. Meaning if there was some lesser, put it this way, if there was some shiur, Shin Yud Bavresh, right, in this hakna to the bailim, as there is in a davar shein b'shuso, right? Then I could challenge. I could say la bal dorm didiyat. You're not the full bailim. You're an 80% bailim. It works for you, but I can't. When I look at you, I can't say bailim gemur. Vaharaya, he transferred to you. He couldn't be makdash to hekdesh.
So it seems like we're sort of jumping between the one and the more kind of a formal. Labeling it one as the
Shibud Nechasim, Shibud Haguf. I'm using Shibud Nechasim, Shibud Haguf in a more general way. I don't mean it the exact same way to read it, Tom. I don't mean it as a personal debt. I don't mean that the other fellow takes over your. What I mean is, you know, if there. Well, let me say it the way I just said it. If there is a Shiur, Bikinyano, or Bibaluso, or Bishiltono, however you want to find it, I think it can be defined in different ways. The Haraya, I can't be Makdish, I can't be Mafgir, I can't be Mechalel, right? If there are all these things, then why do I have to recognize? Then I have a reason to argue I don't recognize the sale. It's effective for 90% of Dinei Mamonos, right? To be able to take over, to assume the stature and the status of baldvarim, of la baldvarim didi, or toveya, he has to have 100%. I don't think it's quantitative. I think it's qualitative. I think it's the quantity. If there's any discrepancy between the new bialis that is created and the old one that I dealt with, then I have the right to continue to cling to the claim of Ein Zu Tviya or Ein Ze Bal Dvarim Didi. But if there's a perfect transfer in every... That's what I meant by Shibud Aguf. I don't mean literally Shibud Aguf. What I mean is, if nothing has been lost in the process, then what do you mean you don't recognize it? The law recognizes it, and there's no derogation, there's no, you know, there's no inferior status here. It's the equivalent of what I had. It's not Yoredeya, it's Choshen Mishpat. And it's, the Choshen Mishpat side of it has been transferred seamlessly and completely. So all I'm saying is, what I'm saying is this whole thing comes about because there is a change in midstream of Bali Dvarim, and the guy's saying, I don't want to deal with this guy, I don't want to acknowledge him, I don't recognize him. That for sure is what's happening. The reason that he has the right to make that claim, I think, so if we take the Rav Ashi in the end is, after all, he may not always be, there's a Chazara clause here. B, there's an inferior status to the second Bailam than the first. That Shiur with the Vav Reish is a Shiur with an Ayin Reish, right? That there really isn't a lock, stock, and barrel Baldavar here. In the same way that I was dealing with, and therefore I don't have to recognize it. That's the argument. I can make the claim, La Baldvarim or Ein Zeh HaToveh. So let me just finish one other line. What about Bali Tosis? What is their response to all this? So to the Bal Din, Bal Mamon parts, as we said before, the Gemara doesn't say anything about a Bal Mamon. The Gemara says about a Bal Din, the Gemara says about a Toveah. Bali Tosis aren't going to have a problem with that. But shouldn't they have problem with if Shliach Shavya, all of a sudden, wiser issue of Bal Dvarim Didi here, and especially Mipia Tobe and Shvua? Presumably they should. The Bali Tosis in our sugya do not address the question, but in Shavuos they do. And they don't help us so much, except they provide a little bit of an interesting perspective. Namely, that certainly was on the Mar Makomos. Yehuda? See it? Lama Gimel Beis, Dovi. Okay, anyway, we'll stop here, but I want everybody to finish up being prepared tomorrow. If you get a chance, also look at the Tosas Rid on the Sugi, by the way. In the footnoted Tosas Rids, I think they reproduce the Sefer HaMachriya also, where the Tosas Rid has a long, long piece on our show. If you get a chance, because yes, some of the formulations are interesting. In Bava Kamma. Afagav the paskin b'meruva the shliach shavi utnan shilach biad b'no biad avdo patur hacha adiv sheyesh lo koach lahotzi mamon kemo lebailim atzman. In a way, it could be almost similar to what we said before for the Rajba. Ironically, the basically an interesting thing, the Tosas in Shavuos says the answer to mipia toveya is found in Bava Kamma. Daf Ayin Omer Aleph. What you need to be a Toveya is that the other guy can't say to you, La Bal Dvarim Didiya. And that's what you gain through Harsha. If the guy can say, La Bal Dvarim Didi, then you're not a Mipia Toveya either. Of course, it in one sense begs the question, and that is so good. So then the whole question centers on Bava Kamma. Why is it a regular shliach can't say, you can say a lav al dvarim didiyad, and a morsha you can't? What is, like the Raj Mas, what is zil don apik lanaf sheikh, if it doesn't accomplish anything, what does it really, what does it do? Unless you say that chizuk itself, it's not a difference in the quality of the shlichus, but that is the statement of the, unless you say that, you know, when I say to you lav al dvarim didiyad, what I'm saying is I don't recognize you. And I have the right to say I don't recognize you, as long as the Baldavar, as long as the real Bailim doesn't explicitly tell me to recognize you. Right? If he explicitly mandates that I have to listen to you, then that's fine. So it's not that it's a higher form of shlichus. It's just that when he says the word, that's the answer to the Rajma. Zil don apik rafshik. The Rajma is saying something objective had to happen here. Otherwise, it's a regular shliach. Because Rajma is assuming that labal dvarim didiyah is a function of, I don't have to deal with the shliach. It's the status of shliach. But maybe Bali Tosis will say it's the explicit charge of zil don apik lenafshek. I'm making you a shliach, and if he gives you trouble, tell him that, you know, I don't give him the right not to recognize my shliach. Now, once that happens, according to Tosis, so then that's koveya, that has the ripple effect, that bipia toveya depends on that as well. One could have argued on either of these points. But maybe that's what Tosis is saying. The alternative is to say that Tosis thinks that this isn't the routine shliach. This is a more independent shliach. That would be more like Rashi with different nafkamina or different things to bring it up. I think these are two ways to explain Tosis. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow with the other shitas. Balamor. By the way, Balamor, Narban, and Ravid, they also discuss the sugyan kuf dalid, omid aleph. Shliach be'edim, so just look at that gemara very quickly. Shliach be'edim and the Balamor there on kuf dalid, omid aleph as well. Okay. We'll try to finish this off tomorrow.